The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
All right, guys, we're going to be in everyone's favorite book tonight. That's Leviticus. Woo! All right, so let's open up to Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. Tonight's theme is Sabbath. Talking about Sabbath. If you're familiar with Sabbath, if you take a Sabbath, you probably kind of know where I'm going to go with it. Another way to think about it is rest. Something we all need, amen? Rest? Yeah. When I was preparing for tonight, I was thinking back on a time in my life when I really had to experience what we're going to read about in Leviticus 25. So I'm going to read this portion first, and then I'll tell you a little bit of the backstory behind it. But we're going to look at verses 18 through 22. And if you have, you know, headings in your Bible, it might read the Sabbath year. So I might be telling all of you guys, take a year off. Wouldn't that be awesome? Take a year off? No? I heard somebody say no out there. Yeah, there'd be some challenges with it for sure. But we'll pick up here in verse 18. It says, "Therefore, you shall do my statutes and keep my rules and perform them, and then you will dwell in the land securely. The land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and dwell in it securely. And if you say, 'What shall we eat in the seventh year, if we may not sow or gather in our crop?' I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year so that it will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years. When you sow in the eighth year, you will be eating some of the old crop. You shall eat the old until the ninth year when its crop arrives." When I read this, and you know, I didn't want to read all of chapter 25, but if you want some more context, you can go back and read through that. Basically, the Lord said, you've got 6 years of farming to do, and that seventh year, you don't plant crops. For a society that's fully dependent on crops, that would be freaky. And we could understand if they'd say, well, wait a minute, what are we going to do in that seventh year when we're growing enough to satisfy and support ourselves each year, and then we're supposed to take a year off? What kind of sense does that make? And the Lord, this is his reply: I got you in the sixth year. Year 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, gonna be normal, but in that sixth year, get ready, because I'm pouring it out. And then that seventh year, set back, because I got you, and then you're gonna be taken care of. About 8 years ago, I kind of went through a little bit of a season like this. I've worked every summer. I'm a teacher, but even before that, you know, when I was in school, I would still work every summer. Once I got to the age where I could have a job, and even before that, I'd work with my grandpa on the dairy farm and stuff. So I was accustomed to working in the summer, earning some money to supply throughout the rest of the year. Well, 8 years ago, no job. That is the one and only summer since I've been of working age that I didn't work. And it was freaky for me. I had just gotten married and bills had to get paid, you know? Bills had to get paid, have this new wife, new life, and now, for some reason, I don't have a job. I don't have a coaching position anymore. That was taken from me by the Lord. All of these extra things had been stripped out of my life, and I felt like I was just kind of left flat and floundering here. And I tried hard to find work. But it's hard to find somebody that's going to hire you for June, July, and part of August, and then you're back at school again. So Weeks would go by and nothing, and nothing, and nothing. And it wasn't for lack of trying until eventually, towards the end of the summer, I finally got it. I finally got it about the end of July, when I felt like the Lord was like, I'm not giving you a job. I'm not giving you a job because this is about you being with me. You started a new life with a new wife, and you need to be with me. You don't need a summer job. I need to prep you for this life that's coming up. And it changed everything there at the end of the end of July. I really wish, looking back, that I had that enlightenment in May or even before that. But, you know, finally by the end of July, I was like, all right, I'm going to take advantage of the last few weeks of summer before I go back to school. And they were amazing, absolutely amazing. I stopped fretting about work, and I spent 3 quality weeks with the Lord. And if you know me, you know that not working and not doing things and not being productive is hard. It's incredibly hard. Jody, thank you. Yeah, you just expressed what went on in my mind. Wish you guys could have all seen the look on Jody's face. So that's kind of the idea behind what I think the Lord is working on with the Sabbath year. He's like, I don't want you working all of the time. I don't want you stressing. I don't want you trying to provide all the time. I want you to just stop. Just stop. And then slowly, once I got this principle down, I shouldn't say down, once I understood what he was trying to work in my heart, the Lord would start adding some things back in. Slowly. And if I started getting ahead of myself and not making priorities where I should, things started to disappear, just purely out of grace. Dwight L. Moody says, show me a nation that has given up the Sabbath, and I will show you a nation that has got the seed of decay. And we've lost the importance of the Sabbath. I mean, why else would Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby be such a big deal being closed on Sunday? I mean, everybody's makes a big deal about that. We should all be closed a day of the week. You know what I mean? We shouldn't be laboring all of the time, and we've lost the importance of it. I hear from Christians all the time, oh, you take a Sabbath once a week? That's pretty legalistic. That's Old Testament. It's like, oh, really? Can you do 7 days a week without spending a day with the Lord? How efficient is that? You know, the heart of the Sabbath, the heart of it is you and the Lord together. It's communion. We celebrate communion tonight. Sabbath is communion. Sabbath is all about our heart mingling with his and removing distractions from our life. He wanted the nation of Israel do that for an entire year. An entire year of nothing, no working. You were with the Lord. That sounds pretty amazing. It sounds hard. It sounds really hard, but it sounds amazing. In our society today, we've made it really difficult for somebody to even think about doing this. That's how far we've fallen as a people, where we've created a society where we couldn't take a year off and be with the Lord. We live in a society that makes it difficult on us to take a day off a week, a full day off a week. But Dwight L. Moody's quote of, it's the seed of decay, it's a big deal to lose the Sabbath and the importance of the Sabbath, because it's kind of the equivalent of losing faith. How much faith would it require to take a year off? More faith than probably any of us in here have, if we're honest. For some of us, it would be a big step to take a full day off a week. For some of us, it would take a big step to take an hour a day of not being productive to be with him. God wants to provide, and God does provide in our inactivity. And I'm not talking about God promoting a lazy generation, a lazy society. That's obvious throughout the Bible. He wants us to work. He wants us to provide. He wants us to serve. He wants us to be active. But we can't be active until we learn how to be inactive in his presence. And that's what the Sabbath is all about. The Sabbath year trains us to trust in him. The Sabbath day trains us to trust in him. That Sabbath time of communion gets us, like I said, our hearts to mingle with him so that we can believe he's going to show up. It takes a lot. Like, for me to just stand up here and say, I want you to take a day off every week for the rest of your life and expect God to show up to meet with you on that day. First of all, we have to want him to show up, right? We actually have to want him to be there. For some of us, that's scary. Like, I don't want a whole day of hearing from God. I can hardly spend, you know, this time during worship, and the Lord's just like breaking my heart over all these things and meeting with me, and I'm crying, and I'm a mess, like a whole day. I mean, imagine how much our hearts would flourish if we surrendered it for an entire day to let him meet with us. You know, this pattern of Sabbath, God has worked it in throughout the Bible. Eventually, the nation of Israel is going to go into captivity to make up for every Sabbath year that they broke. They refused to do it. And because of that, they're going to go into captivity, and God's going to give the land rest. God will give the land rest. I'm not saying that as a threat. I'm saying that as a promise. Out of his grace and love, he's going to give the land rest. He's going to give you rest, whether you want it or not. He's going to give you that opportunity. It might be a physical ailment to where you are restricted to a bed so that he can get face to face with you finally. Something. He's going to give you the rest. He's going to slow you down if you refuse to slow down. The word Sabbath means to cease. It means to cease control of your life, to cease performing, to just cease this weariness. We just run ourselves ragged. Life is just so fast-paced, and we're wearing ourselves down, and the Lord is just saying, stop. Just stop. Peace. And I get the picture of when they're on the Sea of Galilee, and the storm was rising, the waves were crashing, everything was out of control, and Jesus just stands up and says, peace. And that's what he wants to do to our lives. When our hearts and our minds are just going crazy and it seems like we're living in a storm, all we have to do is make room for Jesus to say, peace. Thank you. Yes. In Mark 2, verses 27 and 28, Jesus addresses this issue of the Sabbath. And as you guys probably know, you know, the Pharisees were kind of tailing him around, just trying to bust him on something. And Jesus did some pretty awesome stuff on the Sabbath. But if you look at what he did on the Sabbath, he did two basic things. He healed people, and he provided for people. And it's the same thing. He was exemplifying. He was showing you, this is what I want to do on your Sabbath. I want you to come to me on a day, or every week, and just receive healing from me. And you can't get healed unless you stop. We're trying to run ahead of the healing. We're trying to run ahead of the healer. We're expecting him to pray and meet with us, and we're not making any room in our lives for him to do that. In Mark 2, and the verses 27 and 28, Jesus says he is the Lord of the Sabbath. What he's saying is, the Sabbath is all about me. I am your rest. I am your rest. And when you come a day of the week, Saturday, Sunday, whatever, maybe you work on the weekends and Wednesday's your Sabbath, you have a Sabbath during the week, you and Jesus are coming together. You have a date. and a date that shouldn't be broken because we need it. We need that time with him. And he also says in there that the Sabbath was made for man. God set that pattern from the very beginning in creation. 6 days he worked, on the seventh he rested, and he commanded us. Anybody know what the longest of the Ten Commandments is? It's the one on the Sabbath. He spends the most attention on that commandment. Yet it's the one we so easily break and the one we so easily dismiss. Like, yeah, we won't have any other gods but besides him, but you know that huge commandment that's in the middle of all those? That one doesn't matter. I'll get to it if I have time. But Jesus said that the Sabbath was created for us because God knows we need it. We need him. We need the rest. We need to stop. We need to slow down. Dave has said this before in Bible studies. He's probably said it at church, but for the acronym, to break the word busy down into an acronym, has anybody in here said or remember what he said it stands for? Being under Satan's yoke. Why is busyness being under Satan's yoke? Because it ruins relationships. One thing Satan wants is he doesn't want us to pour into other people, especially having that relationship with Jesus. If he can wedge things in between us and him, and between us and our kids, and between us and our spouse, and between us and our parents and our friends, he's winning, folks. If you are busy, Satan is winning in your life. He's laughing. He is laughing. Oswald Chambers says the busyness of things obscures our concentration on God. So we must never let a hurried lifestyle disturb the relationship of abiding in him. You just think about all the times that Jesus, during his ministry, slipped away. And it would be at like peak times when thousands of people were gathering and it was like, all right, Jesus, his disciples were like, Jesus, you got the biggest crowd. I mean, put mega churches to shame today. They've gathered. They want to hear you. And Jesus would be like, no, I got to get away. I got to go pray. I got to rest. I got a Sabbath. I need to be restored. And he did that to show us the pattern of our life. Even in ministry, you guys who have been involved in ministry, you know it can be like any other kind of job. It can suck you dry if you let it. Because we'll allow it to consume our lives. We will allow serving Jesus to get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. And you guys know, if you've been serving Jesus for any amount of time, you know the difference between when you're serving with Jesus and serving without Jesus. And it's possible to do both. It is absolutely possible to do great, amazing things, and Jesus is not a part of it because we've left him behind for our own agendas. You know, one of the most beautiful pictures, I think, in the Bible of this idea of Sabbath and resting and abiding comes out of Luke chapter 10. It's the story of Mary and Martha. And if you've read that story before, you've probably had conversations of which one do you more closely relate to. And I don't think it's really a question for people. I mean, we obviously relate to Martha. If anybody's like, oh yeah, I'm Mary all the way. No, you're not. No, you're not. So I'm going to read that, verses 38 through 42. It says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary was on a Sabbath. She was resting at the feet of Jesus. Izzy had us listen, meditate for a short amount of time. And that was probably hard for some people in here to just sit for a minute or two and not let distractions seep in and just try to hear, to not say anything, but just try to hear. It doesn't say Mary was there talking with Jesus. It said that Mary was there at his feet listening to Jesus. Imagine a Sabbath where we took a day and sat and listened. Turn your mouths off and listen. Wow. Has anybody done it? Full day. You don't speak a word, you just listen. I haven't done it. But could you imagine the things you would hear? I imagine it would take a while, all the distractions flooding in and you fighting those and praying against those, and then eventually, boom, you would hear the voice of Jesus. Maybe not audibly, but you would get the inclination. You'd know he's meeting with you. And pretty soon, you would be like the woman at the well, and he would tell you everything that you have done and then show you the way to grace. And we need that. We need to make room for the Lord to do that in our life. Because if we are not resting at the feet of Jesus, we are not giving the relationship what it needs. I mean, seriously, it's like if we were married and just never spent any time with our wife or husband. It'd be like, I want to have a relationship, I just don't want the relationship. That's what it's saying. And if we say we want to be followers of Jesus, but we don't spend that time with Jesus, what is it really saying? I mean, last week we talked about being satisfied by the Lord and our relationship in the Lord and what that would look like. And we talked about how a lot of us really struggle with we want the blessing, we want the provision, we want the purposeful, meaningful life, we want the promise of heaven, but do we really want Jesus or just the things that Jesus is providing? And if anything, I'm not talking about taking a Sabbath just to see him work. I'm talking about taking a Sabbath to just be with him. And until in our minds we understand that this is about a relationship with an actual person, Christianity is just going to be some empty theology. Until we really realize it is about sitting at his feet, Christianity is powerless to us. It's just a label that we've put on ourselves. Abraham Lincoln said that as we keep or break the Sabbath day, we nobly save or meanly lose the last best hope by which man rises. You know, the last best hope that we have is the gospel. And the gospel has to go out. Jesus said so himself. That's his commission. For each believer in their life, they need to take the gospel out. To go into all the world, to go make disciples, to go and preach the good news. But let's not forget that what he said was, "You're going with me. You're going with me into the world." He's not parked in heaven just observing everything. He's with us everywhere we go. If we take him, if we want him to be there. And let's also not forget that before Jesus said to go, he said to come. And this whole pattern is what Sabbath is all about. Come to me and we'll go together. Come to me and we'll go together. Sabbath day in the week, come to me. Let's get restored. Let's meet together. Let me love on you. And then we're going to go out the rest of the week together, and we're going to fight this fight together. That's what it's about. The Sabbath is not some rule in a dusty old book of, you know, somebody who's in heaven trying to put a kibosh on her fun. It's a symbol of love, of a God who knows what we need and wants to set a pattern for our lives. In Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I think that verse represents everyone. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. The word heavy laden or labor, depending on your translation, comes from the Greek kapiao, which means to grow weary, tired, and exhausted with toil or burdens or grief. So if you are just really worn out and sad and depressed and hurting, or if you've been working your tail off, or if you are consumed with what's going on in other people's life, Jesus is saying, you got to come. You got to come. This pattern of coming to him and going out, it's the only thing that is going to save us from dying an early death. And men, there's a reason why we die before women. Because we are way worse at taking a Sabbath. Because we will work and work and work, and we will not stop because we believe we're self-sufficient. We believe that we need to work to provide for our family, and we do, but we can't work efficiently and provide well the most important things unless we Sabbath with the Lord and let the Lord provide our needs. You know, Jesus says to carry each other's burdens, but Jesus wants to take our burdens. And whenever he says help others carry their burdens, he's not saying take those burdens and pile them up on your shoulders. He said help carry other people's burdens by bringing them to me. Put them on my shoulders. I'm the only one that can carry them. You can't carry them. You can't even carry your own burdens without falling apart. It's just another way of driving us back into his presence and bringing other people back into his presence. He's the one that wants to carry the burdens because he's the only one that can. Christianity is not a religion that is meant to run us down. It's meant to give us life. It's meant to rejuvenate us and restore us and give us joy and give us hope. And if we're not finding joy in serving, we're not serving with him. We're not serving in the right way. We're not letting him restore us. If we are working and not making time for him in our life, then we're just shaving off the years of our life. And they're a waste. They are a waste if we are not willing to sit at the feet of Jesus, because our relationships are going to pay the price every single time we refuse to Sabbath. You're going to get frustrated easier. You're going to snap at people easier. You're not going to love sincerely. You are not going to be the representative of Jesus. You're not going to be like what Dave says every week. You're not going to put him on display well unless you actually spend time with him. And guys, my voice might be elevated because I'm getting fired up about this, because I've been battling with this for a long time. I am prone to work. I am prone to produce. I am prone to be go, 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 go all the time. And even this week at work, I had 15 minutes before my next class was coming in. And I found myself walking up to my lesson plan book and scanning the week to see if there's anything I could get ahead of the game. And I felt like, you know, this tug on the back of my shirt, like pulling me back away from it. Like, how about you use these 15 minutes to just soak in my presence? So I went over and grabbed a devotion and then just kind of started gravitating back over to, it's like, but really, I just need to make sure. And finally, fortunately, I mean, I wasted a couple minutes battling with it, but the Lord, the Spirit won out. And I just went over and I sat down and I read it, a quick devotion, and then just sat in silence and just listened. I just said, Lord, I'm here to meet with you. And you know what? The rest of the afternoon was a breeze. Because in that short amount of time, my heart was restored. And the only thing, going through my lesson plan book and hurriedly planning things and preparing things would have done, was just wear me out some more and make me more anxious. The famed Psalm 23 is meant to be a picture of the Christian's life. And in verses 2 and 3, it says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. And think about that. Is that a picture of how you're feeling right now? I love the Lord of the Rings, and in there, like, the Shire. If you don't know Lord of the Rings, just kind of check out for a minute, I guess. But but the Shire is just beautiful, and like this green rolling hills, grass, and there in the beginning of the Fellowship, Frodo goes out and he's just sitting, reading out in this meadow propped up to a tree. And I just get this image of he went out to wait for Gandalf, the wizard. And I think about that every time I see that scene. I think about going out into a quiet place to wait for the Lord, because I know he's coming. I know he's going to meet me there. I know he will show up. And I want my heart to reflect that surrounding of a meadow that's at peace, maybe a stream going by. You know, just think about the most peaceful scenario you can. And that's what our heart should be like constantly. And the only way it can be like that is if we are resting at his feet, if we are taking him up on his invitation to come and rest. You know, Jesus wants to meet with you in the Sabbath year. He wants to meet with you on the Sabbath day. He wants to meet with you in those Sabbath moments, like that 15 minutes in between classes that I had earlier this week. They're rich and they're beautiful and they're powerful, and he wants to meet with us as often as we possibly can. Chuck Swindoll said that God presents the Sabbath rest as a shelter that we can enter. And the shelter has an open door. We just have to walk through it. And we can walk through it as often as we want. We don't have to wait until Saturday or Sunday or whenever that day is. If you're worn out right now, good news is you can walk right into it. You can go home and spend the rest of the evening resting at his feet. You can use your lunch break at work to rest at the feet of Jesus. You can use that time when you're driving, if you have a long drive to work or driving home, and just turn everything off and just rest. Like, keep your eyes open if you're driving. Just rest at the feet of Jesus, because that's what he wants. That's what this whole thing is about. And so often we make things about serve. And yes, that's great. But if Jesus is right there and we're ignoring him while we're doing it, what good is it? What good is it? So we're going to do a little exercise here. I want everybody to just close their eyes. Don't start snoring. Okay? Close your eyes. And we're going to take some deep breaths here, okay? So I want you to close your eyes, take a deep breath, and let it out. Let's do that again. Deep breath. Exhale. Another deep breath. Exhale. I want you to keep your eyes closed. I want you to picture yourself taking out a sheet of blank paper. Everybody picture the blank paper in front of you. Picture yourself grabbing a pen or pencil. And I want you to visually see yourself writing down everything that is weighing on you right now. Whether that's a concern for a loved one, a concern for yourself, sin, doubts, work, anything. I want you to just visually see yourself writing those on this sheet of paper as if it were clearly right in front of you and your eyes were open. I want you to see yourself writing those. All of us should probably keep writing. And maybe you're not fully aware right now what is weighing you down, and this is a time to hear from the Lord. And direct your hand at writing these things down. Now I want you to lay your pen down. I want you to visualize yourself crumpling up that paper. And if you need to use your hands to do that, that's great. You're crumpling it up as tight as you possibly can. Now I want you to pull out your lighter and light that paper on fire. Visualize the flames engulfing that paper. And just drop it onto the ground in front of you. Watch it burn. Slowly turn to ash. And now I want you to picture the breath of the Lord coming in and blowing those ashes away. Every single one of them till you can't see a single ash in front of you. Now I want you to pull out another blank piece of paper. And now I want you to pray that the Lord does the writing. I want you to pray that the Lord speaks to you.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspring.org.